Thanks for joining us for the Liberty Church Podcast. We pray that this message inspires you to change the world around you. For more information about Liberty Church, you can visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks again for joining us, and have a great day. If you got your Bibles, turn to Psalm 119. Somebody's like, oh my gosh, he's going to read the whole thing. Maybe I am. Maybe I will. Pastor Mercedes and Pastor Deborah send their greetings. They're not here today, but they'll be here next week. And Pastor Mercedes is going to continue. She's going to do part two of the message that she started a couple weeks ago. And so that's going to be awesome. You do not want to miss that. Be here next week as Pastor Mercedes brings the word. And just thank you to everybody just for your support and your encouragement, as always. And I know I say this every week, but if you need something, don't hesitate to reach out. If you need to talk or anything like that, we are here for you. And so you can call myself or Pastor Charity. We are here for you. We love you. And just again, thank you so much. And it was Charity's birthday on Friday. And so thanks for all the stuff and all the happy birthdays and everything like that. It was awesome. So Psalm 119, Psalm 119, if you didn't know, it's like the longest book of the Bible. It's long. All right, Psalm 119 is long, and it is 22 stanzas. Each stanza has 8 verses, and each stanza is, it goes through the Hebrew alphabet. So it has each stanza, each verse in that stanza starts with that Hebrew alphabet letter. Think about that for a minute. Try to do 22 stanzas of 8 verses, and each word at each verse starts with the same. That's a lot. That's a lot of work. Needless to say, David spent a lot of time on this psalm. In fact, I would probably go and say that he spent the most time on this psalm. And if you read it, you will read a lot of verses that you will read in previous psalms. It's a lot like David took this and he compiled all of his works into one final piece and said, I'm going to do this. And it's beautifully written. He was a psalmist. He wrote songs for God. He was poetic. And he puts all of this time and effort into this beautiful, beautiful chapter, Psalm 119. And so we're not going to read the whole thing today. But I also like to take a minute to just talk about that history, because if you've ever read the Bible chronologically, you got to Psalm 119 and you said, wait, I'm supposed to read 3 other chapters of the Bible and Psalm 119? This is going to take like an extra 30 minutes today. So now you know why, all right? Somebody's like, oh my gosh, that has totally happened to me. I was like, yeah, I know, me too. So, but all this week, the Holy Spirit has just brought me to this scripture for today. And I just couldn't shake it in a good way. And it's Psalm 119, 105. And it's a verse a lot of us, I think, know. We've heard. And it says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Amen? Your word is a lamp, or a lamp to guide my feet, a light to my path. And God bless Charity. She is so patient with me, and I wrestle over certain things and scripture, and she's just so cool. And I was like, about midweek, I was like, what is up with this? Why are there two lamps? Why is there two forms of light? Why is there feet and a path? What is going on, you know? And this is a scripture I've read a lot, I've heard a lot. I mean, I grew up in church, and so, like, this is one of those, is like, God is lighting your path, you know? He is a lamp. You know, there's even, like, you ever seen, like, those Christian posters? You know what I'm talking about? Christian posters? I love Christian posters. And there's, like, Jesus' feet on a beach for whatever reason. And there's, like, all these footprints, and there's, he will guide your feet, right? And I'm like, well, those are, like, Jesus' feet, and why is he on a beach? But anyway, these are just weird things that I think about. But this scripture as I started to study it, I was like, that's why the Holy Spirit keep ringing it in my ear. And there was just so much revelation in this. And so let's just pray together. Let's agree today that God would do what only God can do. Amen. That the Holy Spirit would bring revelation to us today. And I believe the beautiful thing about the revelation of the Holy Spirit, it hits us right where we are at, where you are at individually, okay? That's how the Holy Spirit works. Isn't that cool? So he can speak through different moments and different pieces right to where you are at. Amen. Lord, we just thank you so much for today. We just open up our hearts to you today. We open up our minds to you today. And most of all today, our spirits. We want to align with you. We want to align with you. We understand that when we align with you, we push away the things of the world, of our flesh. And as we align with you, amazing things start taking place because you're an amazing God. We thank you that as we follow your will, magnificent things are present and in the future. We thank you for your promise today. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen, amen. Amen. He's good, man. So your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. What's the first thing there? Your word. And I was all caught up in the lamp and the light and the feet and the path. And then God's like, what's the most important thing here? Your word. Amen. Your word. Your word. It's the Hebrew word here is debar. And this is the word of God. It's divine communication in the form of commandments, prophecy, and words of help to his people. It's used 354 times in the Old Testament. 394 times. I said 54. 394 times. And this word, it's communicated in a few different ways in the Old Testament. And the first way is literally, then the word of God came unto, okay? So this would be, for instance, through the prophets. You'll read this a lot, that the word of God spoke through Samuel, or the word of God said through a prophet, Nathan. Or the word of God came to his people. And that's the one way. That's not how it's being used here. The second way is how it's being used here. And I love this. This is so powerful. It literally means Yahweh confirms his word of promise. So a better way of saying the scripture, his confirming of his promise is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. I'm going to say that again. Let it get in your spirit today because it's so good. His confirming of his promises is a lamp to guide your feet. It is a light for your path. Confirming his promises. I love that. This is powerful to me. It rocked me because that means that we can live in a constant state of seeing God confirm his promises in our life. And that checked me so hard because I'll many times go throughout a day and made me recognize, you know, wow, God, that's so cool. That's your promise taking place. Maybe once. Maybe I'll even go through a day and not do it. Maybe go through a week and just have a few times where I acknowledge his promises. And check me. We know a lot of scriptures that talks about bringing God thanks, the importance of bringing him thanks. This scripture puts a whole new importance to recognizing what God has done, and this is important, is doing right now. When this statement is said, it's confirming his promises. What does that mean? It means that he has promised something and he's confirming it right now, right? He's taking what he has said to you or in his word and he's confirming it right now in some form. And to me, I was like, so if he is doing it, and I'm not seeing it, is that a God problem or a me problem? We all know the answer. Everybody's like, it's you, Brandon. Yeah, it is. It's a me problem. It's a me problem. It means that my eyes are not open. I'm not recognizing. And how about you? But you know, when I was like, man, I recognize many things that God is doing, but I could be in a constant state of seeing his promises be revealed. And when that hit me, I was like, Holy Spirit, man, speak in that. Speak through that. Speak through this moment, because this is powerful to me. I think that today's message, the Holy Spirit say, this, it hinges on this moment right here. This moment. And I want the Holy Spirit to speak to you today. And I said, God, make a way for this to make sense, even to me, to us today, because there's so much deepness to this. Because it says that his confirming of his promises, it will also help guide us. So it's really important, because how many of you want to be guided by God? How many of you want your path lit by him? Amen? So this is really important. And the Holy Spirit, yesterday as I was praying over this, he brought to mind being a parent. And one of my biggest goals in life is to be an incredible dad. I want to be the best dad that I can be. And I don't know how many times, and if you're a parent in this room, you can relate to this. You do something, you're like, I'm the worst dad in the world. I'm the worst parent in the world. There is, like, that was such a big mess up. Like, oh my gosh. And when you do that, what are you doing? If you're not careful, you lean into your failure. And you lean into the lie that you're not enough. The shame, the guilt, instead of leaning into what? The promise that God has. And what is the promise? The promise is this. Charity and I, we are the best parents for Rosie. We are. God has given us that responsibility. And we have taken that on. And we have said, we will do that. And so we have taken that responsibility on. And what is the promise? The promise there is that God is going to empower us to be the best parents for Rosabella. Amen? That's the promise that comes with that. Is there anything in there about how I'll be defined by my failure as a parent? No. And yet, that's what the devil will do. That is exactly what the devil will do. So I do something that is imperfect, and I mess up. Maybe I don't discipline the correct way, or I say something, or, you know, I have a moment where I'm not patient like I should be, you know, or I act out of my flesh. I react instead of respond in a situation. And if we're not careful, what we then start to do is we start to allow the devil to add shame and guilt and start to pile and pile and pile and pile it on, right? And if we're not careful, it will take days, it will rob weeks, it will rob months, and I've seen it rob years, and I've seen it rob decades from relationships with parents and their kids. And so for me, this hits home in this way, that if I allow God to confirm his promise every day in the blessing and the promise that God has called me to be a dad, the best dad to Rosabella, if I allow him to confirm that promise, what does that do? The next thing says it means it will guide my feet. It will actually guide my actions. Because who does Rosabella belong to? God. She doesn't belong to me. Okay, she belongs to God. Who is responsible for her upbringing? Charity and I. What does that mean? That means, what do I want for Rosabella? I want her to know God. I want her to know her Heavenly Father. So if I'm all caught up in my guilt and shame and fear and whatever has happened to me generationally, if I'm all caught up in that, instead of allowing God to confirm his promises, what am I going to be teaching her? I'm going to be teaching her all that. But if I am embracing and looking and asking God to confirm his promise that you have called me to be the man of God, the father in her life, that now I can teach her, I have the ability to teach her through the Holy Spirit, I have everything that I need, now I can say, I am going to allow you to confirm your promise. And every time you confirm it, it gives me another step. And how does God do that? Well, if you have kids, you know how he does it. Like, it's beautiful. You see your kids just do things and you're like, holy cow, where did that come from? Praise the Lord. There is no way, you know, when Rosabella walks up and I say, hey, baby, we're going to pray for somebody. Do you want to help pray? And she lays her hand and she gets like this serious look on her face, you know, and she lays her hand and I don't exactly know what's coming out of her mouth, but we know power is coming out of her spirit. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is that because of me? No, it's because he was confirming his promise through me into Rosabella. I mean, that's just like wild to me to think about. And I want you to catch this today because there's so much more power in that. That is literally a constant revelation of God's plan and purpose in your life. Think about that for a minute. What's one of the biggest challenges that people deal with? Not having a purpose, not having a plan, not having direction. We have people medicated all across America right now. Why? Because they're worried and anxious because they don't know what to do. That's why. They're freaking out. They're believing all these lies. And like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what's the next step. I don't know what I should. And they are anxious, they have anxiety, and now they're medicated for it. How much would this revolutionize their life? And how much more would it revolution our lives that we literally live in a state of constant revelation of God? Because I think that when we talk about the revelation of God, what is revelation? It's new knowledge that we didn't have before. It's a deeper understanding of who God is or his purpose or his plan for his life. It's a deeper understanding of his word. We many times think revelation comes like once a month or once a year or once every time we go to a church conference, you know, or once, you know, when, you know, the lights are just right in church and they're playing my favorite song. Seven times, and we're like, there it is. All right, got it. I'm ready. Bring it. And this is the craziest thing about God. He's faithful to do it. Does it ever boggle your mind that even like, I think about my life and I think about how selfish and how stupid I was. But still in those moments, I come before him, I'm like, God, I'm ready. And he still gives revelation. Isn't that like a father, a perfect father, a heavenly father that just says, you know what? I'm going to give it to you. I've been wanting to give it to you every day, all the time. But I'm a gracious father. And so you come, I'll give it to you. And I think this this verse speaks volumes to that, to the reality that we can live in a constant revelation of God. And I don't know about you, but I'm like, I want that all day, baby. All right? I want to know who God is in a deeper way all the time. I want to see his promises confirmed. There's just one promise, God. Oh, man, I want that confirmed. I want to see that. Hey, that's so good. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He is just so faithful. And so your word, it hinges on that, right? If you don't have the word, this scripture doesn't mean anything, right? So it's your word. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. So we have the feet and we have the path. Feet and path. Feet and path. What is all that about? The feet, it's symbolic specifically of your daily walk. It's symbolic of your daily walk. When it talks about a lamp unto your feet, it's your daily walk. And what is the path? The path is your course of life, okay? It's the course that you are on for your life. It is your purpose. It is your plan. And it's important to understand you can't have one without the other, okay? You cannot have a daily relationship with God, a daily walk with Jesus Christ, if you have not first altered the course of your life by giving your life to Jesus so that he can then alter the course of your life. Because what course of life were we on before we met Jesus? Of course, straight to hell. That is the reality. And there are two courses you can be on. One to hell or one to our Heavenly Father. Okay? When we give our life to Jesus, we change that whole course of life and he puts us on that course. Praise God. And that is salvation. That is the gospel, right? In a very quick nutshell, right? Is what he does in our life. So you can't have a daily walk with Jesus Christ until you allow him to change the course of your life, all right? But I will tell you this too, you cannot continue on that course of life unless you have a daily walk with Jesus Christ as well. They work hand in hand. So when you read this scripture, I don't know about you, maybe this is just me, and if it's just me, that's fine. But I read the scripture, I'm like, why are we saying the same thing twice? We're not saying the same thing twice. We're saying two things that have to be cohesive in order to have a long-term relationship with Jesus Christ, where you are advancing the kingdom of God all the time, okay? So what does that mean? You can give your life to Jesus, you can change your course of life, and you could just, cool. But Paul talks about if you want to be Paul, he speaks of being a mature Christian, you know? No more milk, okay? We're moving on to solid foods, right? So what we're talking about is, as a mature Christian, what does it look like to walk that course? And to get to the end and say, get to heaven, and God says, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen? And then we have the lamp and the light, right? The lamp guides your feet. The light is for your path. Two different words. What's going on? The lamp is literally like a lamp, all right? But like I think of what nowadays, you know, they used to say a candlestick, okay? Flashlight. I think of a headlamp, right? Anybody ever use a headlamp? I love headlamps. Oh, my gosh. I love headlamps. I love using headlamps. It's like, why didn't we think of this sooner, all right? Seriously, where you look, your light is wild, right? You look over here, your headlamps. I mean, it's like, what? It's like the simplest thing. I want to know what the first headlamp looked like, right? Dude had like a mag light, psh, duct tape, psh, 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 right? He like, you lean down, psh, knocks it off, like, ah, we got to figure this out. I love headlamps. I love headlamps because they allow you to do fine tasks that you need to focus on. Okay? And then what is the light? The light is like an overhead light, all right? It's an illuminating light, okay? An illuminating light for your path, okay? And that's powerful too, because you need overhead lights, okay? I think about in this room even, right? We have this like very bright light right here, okay? And then we have overhead lights. If you didn't have overhead lights, most of us would have trouble reading our Bibles right now, right? Because it helps illuminate that, okay? And so there's importance of both. Have you ever tried to do work with just the headlamp? I have. All right, I do construction, so sometimes I do a lot of electrical work, and so we turn the power off. Sometimes I don't when I'm getting a little crazy. Don't worry, Jared, it's okay. I'm a professional. I know what I'm doing. Yeah, if it sparks, it turns off the power. Then you don't have to worry about it. So, fair enough. But you know, when you're doing electrical, you shut the power off every time. And you have a headlamp to help you, you know, rewire things before you turn the power off. And, you know, it works, right? It allows you to do it. But it is way easier when you have an overhead light and a headlamp together, all right? Because, you know, I probably look crazy. So I'm like doing this thing, you know? I'm like, yeah. Trying to get the headlamp to, like, go where I want it, you know? And I'm like, but then I'm trying to look, so I'm kind of like, you know. Why? Now it's working, but there's funny things happening. But, like, but you can do it, right? But it's harder. Many times you won't be as efficient, as productive. But it, you know, it serves its purpose. But many times also when I'm doing electrical work or different things, I will have the overhead light on in the room and my headlamp on. Why? Because it allows for a much better scope of what's happening. And that's really important. Again, we talked about the foot, the feet, and the path going hand in hand. It's the same thing with these two forms of light. And have you ever tried to do a detailed task with just overhead lamps? You know, you just have just the lights on, you're trying to do something detail, and you're having a hard time. Like, if all the lights were on in the room and I got underneath these pews and tried to do something, man, good luck. You know what I'm talking about? Good luck. Have you ever walked into, you know, maybe like an architectural firm, and they're all doing, I guess nobody uses drafting tables anymore. It's probably on a computer, so that's maybe a bad example. I remember my grandpa, he was an artist, all right? He had an art studio in his basement, and I would go down to the basement, and he would have all the lights on in the basement, and then he would have his art table kind of angled up, and he would have an overhead light right on. And it was confusing to me. I was like, what is going on? This guy really likes light, right? What is going on? And I would just sit and watch him, and he would do, I mean, he was an incredible artist. He created and invented fonts, and he made a lot of signs throughout that were in Omaha for a really long time. By hand, he would design these. And he always had that lamp. And the craziest thing, he also had a flashlight. And I can remember, like, I have this vivid memory of him grabbing the flashlight and, like, moving it all around his art. And what was he trying to do? It gave him a different perspective on what he was working on. Right. I've been doing some drywall finishing in this church, and I'm still here. Praise the Lord. It's tested my patience. And, you know, I remember watching the drywall finisher that does a lot for my dad. And he would, at the end of the job, all the lights are on, and he grabs a really bright light, and he starts going over the wall. A different, why? Because he wanted to make sure that from any way the light hit it, it looked great. And that is what we're talking about. I love the Spirit of God because it covers everything. It covers every detail. It helps you see it in every way if you allow Him to. And that's obviously a huge key here, right? It's a huge key. And so we have both of these forms of light working on our behalf. We have God's promises being confirmed, and in doing so, it helps guide us to where we're going to take the next step. That's profound, because it's God's revelation of who he is, what he has called us to do, and in doing so, it helps guide us and lead us to what the next step is, okay? And then we have this overhead light over our whole path. And you've heard me talk about this a lot, but many times God will give us direction, all right, but he doesn't give us the whole picture, right? But the beautiful thing in this scripture, what it's speaking of, is the reality that many times he will give you different pieces for maybe a season or even lifetime of the things that he's going to accomplish through you. Many times it's about your anointing, all right? And this is like one of those words we use in the church and we don't always explain, but what is the anointing, right? The anointing is specific. The Holy Spirit gifts every person with a specific anointing, all right? And many times it will maybe look similar to someone else's anointing, but it operates specific to that person. That's pretty awesome. It's individualistic, all right? There's never going to be another Brandon, all right? There's never going to be another Samantha. There's never going to be another Deshaun. And we need the specific anointing on each of them to deliver what the Holy Spirit is doing through them. It operates perfectly because that's how God designed it, and he's a perfect God. So when we allow it to work through us, and so when we talk about the anointing, again, that's like a sometimes something we talk about, but we don't necessarily explain. I want you to get that, because this is also talking about this. When you give your life to Jesus, all right, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. When you receive the Holy Spirit, he changes the course of your life. Amen? We talked about that. And when he do that, he will reveal pieces. If you want it, he will reveal pieces of your anointing to you. I've known for a very long time in my life, and I'm not saying this to toot my horn, so don't hear it, but I'm just using an example. I know for a fact that part of my anointing is to disciple people. I love discipling people. I love it. It's one of the most fulfilling pieces. So I love discipling people. What is that? Like, I love to get coffee with people, sit down with them, and just see where they're at in life and help them move forward in any way that I can help them do. I love that. I love doing that. I will guarantee you that the rest of my life, there will always be pieces of that happening in my life, without a shadow of a doubt. All right? I can say that confidently to you, that that's part of my anointing. So what is that? That is God taking his overhead lights on my path and saying, this is going to be a part of it. No matter what you're doing, know that I'm going to have you doing this, have you be doing this. And for me, that's exciting. You'll understand that your anointing is also exciting to you. And sometimes we say, well, man, I really want that anointing. I don't think you do unless God wants it for you, okay? All right? Because it will be very unfulfilling for you in your life. You will, many times, that's where people say grass is greener on the other side. They get there and like, this isn't right. Something doesn't feel right. So they go trying to find something somewhere else, and they bounce around for over and over and over. Why? Because they just haven't fully committed to the call and the anointing that God has put on their life. And they've said, man, that just looks a little bit better over there, so I'm going to go over there, all right? Well, I would say, man, take on the anointing that God has given you, and you will find so much fulfillment in it. And if you're like, well, how do I learn about that? How do I become confident in that? Well, you're not going to like the answer, all right? It's getting before God on a consistent basis and pursuing him. You can't get it from, you know, I may speak something to you through the Holy Spirit speaking through me or somebody else, but then you're going to have to go figure out what that means for you. You've got to do that if you want that. And the most beautiful part about it is it's yours if you want it. Isn't that cool? I love that. I love that about God. It's yours if you want it. And so you have to start pursuing it. God, can you illuminate my path? What are some things long term that you want to illuminate? He more than likely will not illuminate everything, but he will illuminate some things. Why? Because it's in his word. And I will also tell you that he will illuminate different seasons in your life. You know, maybe the end part, like, hey, I'm calling you to, you know, work this specific job or start this certain business or do this certain ministry, all right? Well, that is a long-term piece that God is revealing to you. Does he give you A, B, C, D, E, F, G to get there? Probably not. He will more than likely give you A or B, all right? Right? And you start. You know where it's going, all right? But you're also having faith that you're starting that A and B. And what is that? That is a beautiful mixture of these two things, right? You're doing the daily walk, all right? But you're also understanding the course of your life, all right? And so it's very, it can be hard, but it's a beautiful place to be when you're confident that you're moving in the direction that God wants you to move in. Because when the storms of life come, the Bible says that when the storms of life come, don't be like the man that built his house on sand. And what does it say? It says that the waves came in and the sand moved. It shifted. But what happens to the guy that builds his house on a rock? It's firm. The waves come, the storm come, but it doesn't shift. So when people ask me, hey, are you okay? Yeah, I'm very okay because my confidence is in God. Does it mean that the storms of life don't happen? No, they still happen. Does it mean that it's super easy? No, it can still be challenging. But I find a peace and a rest knowing that it's going to be totally fine because I'm moving towards his plan. And there is a confidence that comes with that as well. Amen? So important. Psalms 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Now, the rest of the stanza, that's how it starts, right? Good stanza, right? I don't even know what a stanza is. Come on. It's something poetic. But anyway, these first eight verses, all right? So it starts with that, and I love the rest of it, okay? Because it speaks of the challenges you will face while on the path. But David speaks of his devotion to always pursuing, he says it over and over again, pursuing God's commandments. Now, was David a perfect guy? No. Dude was all kinds of messed up, okay? All kinds of messed up. But he was a man after God's own heart, it says. But David was all kinds of messed up. All right, just like all of us have our failures and our sins in our life. But the beautiful thing is David just kept running after God. And he would have huge failures, but he would just keep on moving towards God. And so let's read this. Verse 106, it says, I've promised it once. This is David speaking. I promise it once, and I will promise it again. I will obey your righteous regulations. You got to devote yourself to obeying God. There's no way around that, all right? If you want to pursue God, God's not going to change. You've got to change. You've got to change. There's also something here that we see in daily repetition of reminding, David's reminding himself, because God doesn't need reminding, right? God doesn't need reminding. So what is God, what is David saying? He's saying, I promise it once, I'll promise it again, because we've got to remind ourselves. Amen? Of what we want to do and who we want to follow. There's a lot of distractions, a lot of things that will get in the way if we allow them to. But we've got to learn that, hey, if we want to rely on the promises of God, if we want to keep our promise to God, we're going to have to remind ourselves every day. What does that look like? When you wake up in the morning, today, God, I'm going to follow you. And when my flesh says it wants to go this way, I'm not going to listen to it. And today I know that these three challenges are coming up, and I'm going to follow your way in all of it. That's how you do that. And verse 107, It says, I have suffered much, O Lord. Restore my life again as you promised. I love that. When you suffer, what do you remind yourself of? The promises of God. What's the first thing that the world wants to do when they suffer? Talk about how bad it is. Blame people. Make up all these reasons why it's the worst for them. This is actually the worst. It's never been this bad. Really? Never? What does David talk about here? He focuses on the promises of God, and he puts faith in the promises, not faith in fear, not faith in the world, not faith in the facts, faith in God's promises. Amen? It also means that it would help to know God's promises, right? So if you want to know God's promises, where do you start? His word. So spend some time in his word. Verse 108, Lord, accept my offering of praise and teach me your regulations. Don't forget to praise. Don't forget to praise. David was known for praising God, all right? He was ridiculed by his wife because when they brought the ark in, he was dancing around like within his undies, all right? And she's like, what are you doing? You're a king. And he's like, babe, I will get even viler than this. That's what he says. I love that. I will get even crazier than this. Why? Because it wasn't you that put me on the throne, and it definitely wasn't your dad. It was God. So when I come into this place, he will get all of it. He will get all of my praise. And we got to get those. There's something about David and his praise walk that was powerful, okay? And why was it so powerful? He always recognized where it was coming from. It was God. What messed up Saul? He thought, man, I'm doing pretty awesome. You know what? I'm doing pretty great. I'm going to go ahead and make the call on myself because I'm pretty smart. So I'm going to go ahead and make the decision. And then when Samuel comes and calls him on it, what does he do? He starts to backpedal and lie. What's the difference between David? David messed up big time, right, with Bathsheba. When Nathan comes to him and calls him out, what does David do? He repents. All right. Where are we at? And teach me your regulations. In verse 108, that means we got to humbly accept the Holy Spirit's teachings. You got to be humble in order to learn. So if you think you got it all together, let go of that. And humbly say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to teach me? Verse 109, my life constantly hangs in the balance, but I will not stop obeying your instructions. Whoa. Here he talks about obedience a second time, okay? Because it's important. And here he acknowledges the challenge of obedience being and the fact that obedience is a constant pursuit. To not give up, not be lackadaisical, right? Because it says, David says, my life hangs in the balance, but I will not stop obeying my instructions. Even when it's hard, even when it's inconvenient, I will be obedient. Verse 110, the wicked have set their traps for me, but I will not turn from your commandments. Even though bad things are set up to bring you down, put your faith in God. Look, we have a very real enemy, okay? I believe right now the enemy is trying to create something to bring me down. I could care less. He's already been defeated, all right? Whatever he thinks he's got, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, all right? A weapon can be forged, but it will not work, okay? All right? The enemy is always going to try to trip you up. It doesn't mean that it has to work, all right? And when people say, man, the enemy's been at work, who cares? The enemy's been at work since he fled heaven, all right, with his tail between his legs, all right? Who cares, all right? The devil was at work when Jesus was on the cross, and he's like, I got him. And then he found out really quick, oh, man. So We live sometimes in a life where we are in hot pursuit of fear. We've got to turn around and be in hot pursuit of the Word of God and our faith in what God has said. So important. Verse 110. Oh, that's what I just did. Verse 111. Your laws are my treasure. They are my heart's delight. More obedience. More obedience. What do you treasure in your heart? What's most important to you? Because if you're a follower of Jesus, it should be his word. It should be what he says. If you're going to call yourself a follower of Jesus, you've got to make sure that his voice is number one. So anything that contradicts him, you've got to work at getting that out. And there will be plenty. But the more, what did Pastor Jim always say? More word, more life. You always say that. More word, more life. Why? Because the more words you put in, the more you focus on him, what does that mean? There's going to be more life in you and working through you. And the thing that was hard to push away now becomes easier. Why? Because it got less strong? No, because the word in you is now stronger, all right? There's not room for it, okay? There's no more room for that to exist because you have replaced it with the word of God. Verse 112, I am determined to keep your decrees to the very end. Even more obedience, over and over again. And this reminds me of 1 Samuel 15:22, where Samuel says, what to Saul? Obedience is better than sacrifice. And this is where Saul loses the kingdom in this moment. And Saul's like, he starts to backpedal and start saying weird stuff. And he's like, no. I mean, we're gonna sacrifice all this stuff to God. Like, it's his anyway. And Samuel just like gets him, right? You missed it all. What he's saying to Saul is like, because he calls Saul out and says, like, you didn't do what God says. You were supposed to totally annihilate the Amalekites, whatever, you got it, Amalekites. Thank you so much, Howard. Bam, Amalekites. And he doesn't. And when Samuel comes and calls him out about it, he starts to backpedal, and he starts to say what? Saul's truths. He starts to defend himself with his flesh. And it sounds pretty good. If you were someone else overhearing, like, oh, yeah, we're going to sacrifice it all to God. Cool, yeah, good job, king. And Samuel cuts through it all and says, stop it. You don't even know the heart of God anymore. Because you would know obedience is better than sacrifice. What are you doing? What are you doing? It's a powerful moment. God delights in our obedience. He delights in it. He delights in it. Why does he delight in it? Because now he can say, man, now I can give him more. And he knows that through our obedience, blessings can come into our life as well. As we close today, I just want to give a few scripture. These are scriptures that it's the same thing. Psalm 119:105. In Psalm 112:4, it says, light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. Amen. 2 Samuel 22:29, this is David speaking. And it's David, it's the song that he sings to the Lord the day the Lord rescues him from his enemies and from Saul. And what does he say in verse 29? O Lord, you are my lamp. The Lord lights up my darkness. Praise the Lord. I'm going to give you just real quick. This is a parenting principle. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23, it's speaking to kids about their parents. And it's speaking to the kids saying about their parents' commands, for their command is a lamp and their instruction a light. Their corrective discipline is the way to life. So this is a proverb to sons and to daughters, to their parents. But parents, all of us probably took a big gulp when we heard that. And if it didn't, I pray this week at some point it hits you so that you do take a big gulp. Because what is it saying? Our command is a lamp. What is a lamp? It shows the daily walk that we're supposed to take. Our commands as parents teaches our kids the daily walk. It says their instruction is a light. What is the light over their path? Our instruction is teaching them the correct course of life. Never apologizing. When your kids are young and haven't developed yet, telling them how they need to think. This is what the Word of God says. And then there will be a point in their life as they develop that then you have to help transfer that. You have to teach them that now, hey, the reason that I'm disciplining you, the reason that we're setting this up, the reason that we're creating this boundary is because it lines up with this. And he is the head of our household. And then there will be a point later on where they have to make that choice themselves. And you're there helping them make that choice. And if they mess up, which they will, you're there to help pick them up and remind them that I'm picking you up just like your Heavenly Father's picking you up. See, as parents, we've got to reflect who? God. Now, this is true more than just parenting, obviously. I realize that. But it's really important. The way that you live your life, you're also being a lamp and a light to other people. And again, if you didn't take a big gulp, I will give you an opportunity. Because that's a big responsibility. The way that you live your life, you have the opportunity to show people how to daily walk their life and to have a much better, I say much better, the best course of life by your example and the way you live your life. Remember that the Bible says, Jesus said that my yoke is easy, my burden is light. If you walk with me, I will show you how to do it. I will show you how to walk in the rhythms of grace. Praise God. So I don't say that to burden you, all right? I very simply say it to remind you of your responsibility. And the Holy Spirit will give us the strength and the ability to be able to do what he's called us to do. The anointing that God has put inside of you, specific to you, is exactly what's needed for what's ahead. And never forget that his word is a lamp to your feet to show you how to walk daily. And his word is a light that is over your path, showing you the course of life that you should take. And that is a promise that will never leave. It will always be available to us in the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Let's just take a moment just to listen to the Holy Spirit. Do whatever you got to do just to focus in on him. If you got to bow your head or if you just got to close your eyes or whatever you got to do today. But Lord, we just humbly come before you today. We humble ourselves. And we recognize that your word is what we want to guide us. And if you're in the room today and you don't know Jesus, and you want to know Jesus, and you want him to change that course of life, if you feel like you've been following the other course of life and you want to change that course of life, if that's you in the room, just raise your hand and say, that's me today. I want that today. Is there anybody in the room today? See that hand? Anybody else? And I just want to remind you that rose your hand today that he's not going to just change your course of life, but now he's going to give you the next steps too. He's going to be that lamp to show you the next steps. So we're going to say a prayer today. When you say it in your heart, if you mean it from your heart, that's what counts. That's what counts. So if you're a believer in the room, just say this prayer with these people, but just repeat this prayer. Say, Dear Jesus, I need you. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you sent your Son to die for me on a cross that I was supposed to die on. I thank you for your forgiveness. And I say today, please forgive me of my sins. Make me new. And help me every day follow you, move towards you. Lord, I thank you that right now you are here, that your Holy Spirit is here. And right now, I receive the Holy Spirit to change me. I thank you that my life is forever changed. If you agree with that, say amen. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Today, I don't know if you felt this, but I definitely felt this from the Holy Spirit, but that this message for me was, really almost a commandment, if you will, from the Holy Spirit, to take and change. And I do realize that we're always called to change. But in particular, when we talk about all of this, God has never called us to get through something. He has always called us to thrive in every season, out of a season, and into a season. God has always called us as Christians, as his people, to thrive. And how do we thrive? By allowing his word to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And I do feel that the Holy Spirit has called this as a commandment to us to say, hey, do not get through. Thrive. 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 Thrive in the anointing that I put on your life. Thrive in the path that I've set before you. Thrive, thrive, thrive. And so for all of us in the room, there are all things that we can change. Let's just do it. Amen? Amen? And the promise of God is that as we do that, I love glory to glory, new mercies for every day. And that's what we get to live in as followers of Jesus Christ. So today, as we close, we'd love to pray for you if you need prayer in your life. If you need healing, we'd love to pray over you for healing in your life. If you need somebody to stand with you, anything that was said today, you're like, man, I just really want somebody to stand with me. We'd love to pray for you in standing with you. But today, as we close, I would take a few seconds or minutes to just say, what are a few things, Holy Spirit, that I can take from today and do right now? And before you leave, do it right now. Because one of the biggest mistakes we make is say, well, we'll just do tomorrow morning. That's going to be really good for my quiet time. And yeah, it is, but it would be really good right now. Okay? It would be really, really good right now. Okay? And so we're going to close. Jessica, maybe you can pick a, put you on the spot, but maybe a worship song, maybe something like that you can put on. If you need prayer, come on up. We're formally dismissing. You can come on up, but take a minute to do that whatever time you need. All right? We love you. Be back here next week. Pastor Mercedes got an incredible message for you. Have a great week.
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com. And we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.